Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thanks again for joining us for our weekly broadcast. This is the Keith and Kimberly Show Live. Our focus tonight is to shed light on the dangerous drug called Flocka, which is making its way throughout the state of Florida. We want to talk about this latest drug craze tonight. We pray that the lines fill up. We're going to pray right quick as we open up the lines. We want God's blessing on our broadcast and on our recording. So we're going to pray right quick before we get started. Father God, we just thank you for life, health, and for strength. We just thank you for another opportunity to share your word, to express ourselves, to be able to come together as a community of believers, dear God, and to deal with community issues, life issues, spiritual issues, to teach, to train, to edify. And we just bless you tonight, dear God. We ask you to cover us tonight, that you would give us the spirit of peace, the spirit of joy, the spirit of learning and humility, dear God, to where we can be edified by one another on the line tonight, dear God. Stop all static, stop all demons for having any influence, and give us grace as we do your will on tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The guest line is open. We'll be open for questions and comments in about 15 minutes. In the second half of the show, we'll be talking about the demonology of Flocka. We'll be talking about the demonology of Flocka and how we believe that it is demonically driven. We want to be able to put a capstone on that to make sure that we have the spiritual side with the physical side. This is an awful drug. We're going to have guests in tonight that's going to help us share about substance abuse. Some giving their testimony. We're going to have on the line my friend Pazetta Casey, who is a substance abuse counselor. And we're going to have Evangelist Elizabeth Cartagena, who will be sharing bits and pieces of her testimony after having a 30-year drug addiction. So we thank God for those people. Guest call-in lines are open. You can call in and join us in the call at 347-989-0220. Again, the call-in number is 347-989-0220. Please press 1 on your phone if you would like to make any comments, or if you have any questions, just simply press the 1, and we'll be able to get you out of the queue and get your question and your comment. Hopefully, we'll be able to help you. You can comment with us, or you can chat with us on Facebook via the Keith Emily Show on Facebook. You can follow. We're watching our comment section on that page of Facebook, the Keith and Kimberly Show. We have a very good video that should be up online on the Facebook page coming up soon called 24 Hours Living Through Florida's Flocka Crisis. That should be up on our Facebook page here in a couple of minutes for those who want to just take a view of it as we're going along. You can kind of see how this Flocka craze is going. Again, it's called 24 Hours Living Through Florida's Flocka Crisis. It'll be up on our Facebook page here soon at the Keith and Kimberly Show on Facebook. Please don't forget to join us next week at 6:30 p.m. when we will be talking to Evangelist Yolanda Lee George. She is an author, a speaker, and an encourager. Again, that's next week at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday night. Evangelist Yolanda Lee George will be here, who's a book writer. Our topic will be silent cry, sex abuse, low self-esteem, and spiritual restoration. So we're looking forward to that program. Make sure that you join in next week. The Tampa community at large needs to hear about this new designer drug, which could greatly impact our streets and have a huge impact on our youth community. Our goal tonight is to inform you with the latest information and to give you biblical perspective about this fast-growing epidemic. We're not here to judge, to criticize, nor to ignore any problem that may arise in our community. We're here to make a stand. We are standing in the gap of hope and of concern for life. We are operating out of obedience to God and love for our fellow man. This is a race and a cultural transcending issue. It could affect everybody. It could change the way we view addiction altogether. It's a dangerous and highly addictive drug. Flocka continues to wreak havoc on many unsuspecting victims as it moves closer to our city. We would like to see our local Christian people come together, become better informed and more involved in this type of advocacy for our neighborhoods. We want to lead our children, keep them alive and not find them medically impaired or dead in the streets due to the drugs or any kind of drug that will cause them to be impaired or that will cause them to be addicted. We want to be a life support for them at this time. We don't want to see our communities overrun with drug addicts, drug sellers. Flocka is far more potent and far more unpredictable than crack cocaine and meth. It is an awful drug. This is a crisis that's waiting to happen, and we have to be on top of it here, and we happen to be on top of it here at the Keith and Kimberly Show. We want to advocate and we want to promote the consciousness of men so that we can see what's going on in our community, not only on the physical level, but also in the spirit realm. We want to address every issue that comes across this desk and this platform and this forum. We want to deal with it from a spiritual aspect and see what God has to say about it and see how we can motivate and immobilize Christians to get mobile and active on trying to deal with the demand of spiritual crisis in the streets. We cannot afford to sit back and make excuses about why we did not reach beyond the church doors to cover and recover those who may be vulnerable from these types of influences. We got to come outside of church walls and we got to look around our community. We have to see what's going on. We have to get involved. We have to raise the red flags. We have to tell the devil, we have to tell humanity no. We're not going to stand for that kind of stuff. And we got to suppress any demons and any demonic forces that's trying to succeed in influencing our children and in our neighborhood. We have to work. We have to think. We have to pray. We have to operate outside of the box to meet demonic influences head on if we really want to be effective in destroying their momentum. We have to be. We have to educate ourselves and on what's going on and what's going right and what's going wrong as much as possible. We need to know what's going on around us. We need to know what's going right and where we can find help. And we also need to know where the pockets of wrongdoing are so that we can address those and we can stand in the gap and we can intercede. So we thank God for that. We have to shout out the warning to our community there. This is what we'll do tonight if God blesses us, and we'll unfold this new topic called Flocka. We'll deal with this a little bit and be able to hear from our listening audience and our guests on this topic. We think that it is a great topic to explore. Drugs and alcohol have affected the Black community for many, many, many years, as far as I can remember back. And we as Christians, I don't believe, have taken a significant role or leadership role in dealing with it. We have turned our community's people, our drug problems, our drug selling problem over to officials, over to the police department, over to rehab centers. And we have not, as a body of Christ who has power on heaven and on earth, invoked our blood-bought rights and our blood-bought authorities to establish and make a precedent in this earth realm so that we can be effective in doing what we do as Christians to stop what goes on in the streets, whether it be murder, whether it be drugs, whether it be robbery. I think we have the power and authority to decree a thing. And I don't think that we're decreeing what it is God wants us to decree so that we can stop the progress and stop the proceeds that come behind what people are doing to destroy our people. Flocka has been increasing in South Florida and Miami since 2013. The police are finding more of this designer drug Flocka in Broward County than anywhere in the world, anywhere in the nation. Records obtained from the Sun Sentinel show crime labs analyzed 477 cases of confiscated Flocka in Broward County in 2014. According to statistics from the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency, no other county came close, with Chicago's Cook County being second with 212 cases, accounting in Broward County accounting for 55% of the state's 870 Flocka cases last year. Miami-Dade County chalked up the second most with 145 cases, or 17%. In the past three years prior to 2014 combined, the Sunshine State had only 149 cases, one case in 2011, 94 cases in 2012, and 54 cases in 2013. So we can see, just based on the stats, based on the statistic, how I believe the momentum is picking up with this particular drug. And I think it's time, before it becomes Tampa epidemic, for us to address it, for us to become active and motivated and pray about it, for us to be able to see what we can do as a body of believers to ward off any enemy that's trying to steal our children and steal our sons and daughters and have them laying dead in the street, and to cause them to lose their mind because they've taken some drug that has altered their understanding and altered their thinking. We have to become proactive Christians and stop sitting down and allowing the devil to do anything that he wants to do to our people. So we believe in God tonight. I recently viewed a video of a young man high on Flocka. He was acting like a chicken, howling and growling and rolling on the ground. He was barking like a dog as he scooted on the ground towards the police officer. He seemed to be literally out of his mind. There are many cases like this that are continuing to pop up throughout this region. We need to talk about this issue. As a church community, as a family community, as a regional community, as a community that's concerned, we need to talk about this kind of stuff before it comes and knocks on our door. We have to have a spiritual voice to help stop what we believe is a demonic attack on humanity. This is not a black issue. This is a people's issue. This is a hurting people's issue. This is a people under the influence issue. And it could affect you, and me if we don't address it right, or at least become cognizant and conscious and aware of what's going on and seeing how we can impose our blood bond right. I should have some of my callers on the line. Guest should be there on the line with me. I should have Ms. Pazetta Casey Hello. On the line with me, and my friend Evangelist E. Cartagena is going to be our guest tonight. They're going to be able to share some different things with us about drug addiction, some about their experiences, and be able to speak on some of this topic. And then the lines are open again at 347-989-0220. For those of you who want to listen in or tell somebody where we're at, you can find us also on Facebook, the Keith and Kim Show, where you can make your comments and your requests about questions that you may have about this devastating drug that we have here. So we just thank God for each of you. I want to really address this issue of Flocka and where it may have come from, where I believe it may have come from. It's an awful drug. I'm sure some of us are going to run into it sooner or later. We're going to have to deal with somebody who is a Flocka addict, just like we dealt with crackheads and weed heads and alcoholics. But this drug has to be, in my opinion, far more devastating. It is very unbalanced. It has the propensity to be very addictive. It can be overdosed very easy. Each batch of it is different. The chemical makeup of it, you just never know what you're going to get from batch to batch. And anything, any kind of drug that alters you, that alters who you think you are. I've watched several videos of people either running in the street, thinking they're being chased by dogs, talking to demons. They acquire this superhuman strength where they, it's three or four people have to hold them down. They're jumping on cars, literally out of their mind. And if you look in some of the videos that are posted on YouTube about people who are acting out on Flocka, one man was in the back of a police car. He's banging his head on the police glass, almost would seem like it would kill him. But the tolerance for pain is high. The tolerance for self-destruction is high. The tolerance to destroy other people's property is high. Their understanding is gone. You can't get any understanding from them. So what do we as a people group do? What do we do here? How do we deal with this drug? How do we deal with this latest designer drug craze? Are we going to let it just slip in and tip in under our noses and assault our communities? And we all know our black community is going to feel the greatest impact of it. Because lower-income communities always feel the greatest impact of crises like these. So what are we going to do when we walk up on streets like 29th and Lake and streets like Nebraska and all these little pockets where people get high at, and we find 10 or 15 people who are crazy and out of their mind because they've just experienced a Flocka high? How are we going to deal with that? And I'm really concerned with the black community just because here's a drug here that's going to have our black people acting crazy. We already been assaulted, in my opinion, by the police. Here's another reason when you are not compliant for you to be abused, for your loved ones to be killed, shot at, mishandled, misused, and mistreated. So here's another drug that's going to promote some more of that kind of activity and probably cause further loss of life, further injury to people in our communities. So I have a high concern about this, and I think every believer should have a concern about this. I think every believer should have a concern about what's going on around them, and we need to get our eyes off of what's going on inside of these buildings where everybody is saved and everybody is potentially blessed and everybody is potentially so anointed. You know, we can pretty much fly around the room, and we need to focus our attention on issues at hand. This is, I believe, the devil's work. I believe that he sit back smiling anytime he take the image of God. According to the book of Genesis, we were made in God's image and his likeness. And anytime Satan or his imps can take the image of God and pervert it and have it barking like a dog and swimming like a fish, I think that he gets a rush out of that to know that he has perverted the image of God. So that bothers me, because that's what God said. Our mind needs to be restored and it needs to be regenerated so that we don't have these kind of problems, because he don't want his image to be perverted. He don't want it to be taken for granted that his likeness is on humanity, that he will put his likeness on men. So community, we need to deal with this. I want to really talk about this. This is just the beginning here. I believe that there's going to be more things that's going to challenge us as a church community to get out of our area of cuteness, so we don't have to be cute, and we can get out on the streets and we can put our ear to the ground and we can really find out what's going on and why it's going on. Why are people getting hooked on flocker? Why people are misusing themselves? Why are young women still out on the street? I hate to imagine what all could go on with young women on flocker. I hate to even imagine that in my mind, but I believe that the time is coming, and I believe that the time is here for church to be more aggressive and more conscious of what's going on, and we need to have a greater voice and quit always running to the police and running to this place and running to this nonprofit trying to see who we can get help. We reach beyond our Christian brothers and our Christian resources to try to get help that is not going to heal, it's just going to help. But we need some help that's going to heal and solve a problem and regenerate the people of God so that we can bring them back to life by the mercies of God. So as we get ready to go to our first caller here, my good friend Posetta Casey should be on the line with me. I want to ask her a few questions about that. I did tailor my questions a little bit. I believe she can still help me answer these questions and have an input here. I believe she's a very wise woman when it comes to dealing with some of these issues. So we just thank God for her. Miss Casey, do I got you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good
I'm
evening.
Here.
Bless you. Good evening. Bless
thank
you.
You.
Thank you for joining us on the Keith and Kimberly Show. My wife should be online with me, and we just thank God for her. She's here with me online. So we're just going to keep pressing into the show. I got a few questions for you. I did tailor some of my questions based on our last conversation. I just want to throw them out to you. We all family here, so we'll be able to help one another as we move along with this dialogue to see what we can really do to help our people become people who are conscious of what's going on around them, and then to use ours to heal. We got all this power, we got all this anointing, we have all these different things, and I don't think that we're in our community addressing the issues in our community. So my first question, if I can ask you, like I said, I tweak these questions a little bit, is in the past 10 years, have you seen an increase or decrease in drug usage, overall drug usage, an increase or a decrease in overall drug usage?
No, I haven't seen a decrease. If anything, it's increasing. And what we're seeing is a lot of people are going from different drugs. You know, a lot of people, you know, used to do crack, and now whether it was marijuana or different drugs, but now we're starting to see, you know, across the board, no matter what race, color, creed, that people are starting to experience a lot of different drugs that they wouldn't normally do, especially coming from, you know, that, you know, and from our cultural. So there's been a great increase in a number of drugs in the way that people are using different drugs.
Right. So are you saying that you actually seeing more black people who are experimenting with different kinds of drugs outside of crack and cocaine and marijuana?
Absolutely. They're starting to be a increase with the pill usage, you know, with, you know, whether they're shooting pills, whether they're snorting the pills. So you're starting to see a lot of that in the black community.
Okay. And how does your facility that you work out of find out about current information about new drugs that may be on the rise? How do y'all get that information? Is it just like they just walk in the door and say, I'm on these pills or I'm on this new thing? Or how does that usually work?
Well, it can go either way. Let's just say if you're a person that does a lot of research or if you're listening to something on CNN or on the news, we may hear it, you know, hear about it. And then sometimes even the clients will come and let you know about the new drug.
Oh, okay. And from your standpoint, talking about addiction, how serious is the matter of addiction? How serious to the public? How serious is the overall matter of just drug addiction? How serious should we take this issue? Because you work with people every day. How serious should we take this as a community?
Well, we should take it very serious, because then we look at, you know, crime goes up. You know, we have to look at robbery goes up, you know. So it is very serious. And I just wanted to say to you, Bishop and our First Lady, thanks for having me on the show. And I think it's a great thing of what you're doing, reaching out into the community to bring the awareness of this new drug, Flocka, because it is serious. However, I haven't been that, you know, educated on the drug Flocka. I heard about it, but I haven't done any intense research on it. But I did heard you talk about a video on YouTube. I took the idea to see that video, and then right where you were. Experiencing, you know, these psychotic breaks where they make them feel like they're a dog or they're a monkey, you know, and displaying these psychotic behaviors, which can be very dangerous because, you know, like when Spice first came out, you know, there was a couple of known cases where people had these psychotic breaks because of the drug, because you really don't know the chemicals that is in the drug. So there have been some known cases of death.
Right.
So we should take this. We should take this very serious.
Okay, and I got a couple more questions for you. One question would be, as a professional, you know, just if you're talking to family people who have a suspicion that somebody may be dealing with this or some other kind of drug, but just like take this for instance, what do you recommend they do immediately? What would be your recommendation for that friend or family member who is suspecting that somebody is dealing or on some kind of high trip? Or whatever, or either before they get to the high trip, but expect they dealing with it, this or experiencing this kind of drug.
Well, first of all, I mean, if you have a suspicion, what you can do is you have to be very careful because it's very sensitive, and especially if a person doesn't want you to know because they can get very defensive. And sometimes, you know, as family members, you know, when our emotions get involved, we may display some behaviors that may cause the family member to shut down, or maybe because of the shame and the guilt, and they may not want to open up. I will first, you know, try to educate myself and let somebody know. And then maybe you can call somebody in that has the education or has the knowledge that maybe we can do an intervention.
Amen. And then on the spiritual side, you being a spiritual person, how do you see this drug from a spiritual standpoint?
You know, when I heard you talk about it earlier, you know, of course it's, you know, demonic. You know, we have things on, you know, to destroy people so that people will not get where God, you know, and from my own experience, anything that is dark in you, it's going to bring it out.
Right.
It will bring it out. You know, whether I have some certain tendencies, it's going to bring it out. You know, so as a Christian community, you know, we have to first we have to educate ourselves, because we have to really know how to approach people that suffer from an addiction, and then be able to come through them quick. Because sometimes, in some cases, we just can't come at them from a Christian standpoint. So sometimes we have to come from them with a person who has had the experience. Because a person that is suffering from addiction, they're gonna lean more toward listening to someone who has been there versus somebody who has not been there and experienced and who is not walking in their shoes.
Right, right. I agree with that. I agree with that, my sister. And I definitely appreciate your input. You to stay on the line with me as we move through the show. I'm going to come back to you. I got another question or two for you just a little bit later in the call. If you're hanging there with us, we believe that God is going to bless us through this medium right here. Where is our community, the strong community spiritual leaders for this conversation? We've had this conversation going with the heads of our community. Our line should be busting open with those who have a voice and who have an ear, because I see a lot of these churches who are sitting right in high drug activity areas should be engaged in. Somebody should have told them, a member of their church, they're having a conversation about drugs, no matter what drugs it is. We may need to listen in on that. So I'm trying to find out how we as a community of church people, church leaders, bishops and pastors and prophets and all of these people can interact with the people on the ground floor and find out about what's going on in the community when it comes to drugs, and then make ourselves responsible, at least at the bare minimum, on a spiritual level, so that we can get in and try to help these people who God has assigned to our hand. There's no way I can have a bunch, 10, 15 crackheads in a corner away from my church, I not try to address their issue, address their spiritual problem. That would make me, in my opinion, less than a Christian and an awful example of what we're supposed to do when it comes to healing and love and compassion on people. So it's a problem here that we're going to fix this bridge and bridge this gap here that we're trying to find out what we can do with this awful, awful drug. Are we sitting and are we waiting for the onslaught and the attack of sin? It's like we sit and we got our hands folded, we got our feet folded, we just going to wait on it to go down. Because we have become a people who, as long as it doesn't bother me and my house, I'm not going to be concerned with it and I'm not going to get into it. And I think we have to move away from that mindset. We have to move away from that way of thinking, because that way of thinking has been detrimental to our existence, number one, as a black people, then as a culture, and then as a community-minded person, because now nothing is my problem anymore. Nothing is my problem anymore, and I have a problem with that. So I'm calling on all our intercessors on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all of the intercessors that I see post all these great things. I need you to be praying. All these prayer warriors and the believers who sent up, we need to send up petitions, and we need to bind the enemy in the air before he ever get to the earth. We need to bind his movement in the air before he said, if we can bind and we can loose. We need to bind it in the air before it even put its feet on the earth. We cannot sit back and allow our people to be tormented, to be demonized, to be none of those things, and we say that we are consumed and overtaken and overshadowed with power. I just don't see how that could be possible to do. There is a demonic pull that is happening with drugs, alcohol, sex, right here in Tampa. They all walk together. Drugs, alcohol, sex, demonic influence. They all are coupled together. When you see one, you see the other one. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people just standing around waiting on their next hit. The women selling their bodies, they're demonically influenced. I've seen them talking to themselves. All of these things I see that should be an issue for Christian churches. And and here's another issue here with this Flocka thing, that is literally a drug that could wipe out a community. And all it takes is for somebody to get 1 kilo of a bad batch and put it all on the streets and kill everybody. That's all it takes is one bad batch and everybody to hit some of it and everybody's dead. I think it's an awful drug. So we're talking about this. Again, call us. You can call in and get in on the phone at 347-989-0220. Again, the topic tonight is Flocka, this drug that's coming out of Miami. It's also in Texas. It's in Chicago. It's in pockets. But wherever it is right now, it's being a devastating drug. It's being a force to be reckoned with in the police, the government. They really don't know what to deal with these people when they see. They don't know if the person is just literally out of their mind. I've seen them trying to tear up cars, tear up people's property. I've seen them do all kind of stuff on these videos under the influence of this flock. This is nothing like cocaine. This is nothing like marijuana, because it don't put you in that mode of where you have a psychological issue. That's what it's doing to these people. They actually thinking that they're animals. I seen them talking to demons. I seen one man running thinking dogs was chasing him. This is a psychotic drug. And it is generated out of the original bath salt line of drugs that is all synthetic. There's nothing natural about it. So what do you get here when you put this stuff? It can be smoked. It can be consumed. There's all different ways it can be shot up. All these different ways you can get this drug inside of you. I think all of them are awful ways, and they all have an effect on you, but they only take one bad hit to either literally incapacitate you in such a way to where you have a long-term issue, a permanent problem, or it could kill you. It could kill you. So there should be another clip online about Flocka on our page at the Keith and Kimberly Show right now. We should have a clip up there. It's an awareness clip. To give you a little bit more information, if you can view it while you're in the call on Facebook at the Keith and Kimberly Show live on Facebook. Before I go over to my wife, if you would like a copy of our resource information that we have on Flocka, we have a package of information that we put together that's available. I think it's a great package. It'll help you get a great understanding about this new drug. It has some more information in the package. All you have to do is press one on your phone, and our operator will get your information so we can get that package over to you so you can share with your family, you can share with your coworkers, you can make copies. But I believe we want to go out in the street and we want to put some information out. So I believe that everybody online should get their own package so that they can become aware. This time I'm going to go over to my wife, and she's going to help me here a little bit. With a couple things just dealing with this Flocka, so I'm going to go over to her.
Good evening. I want to first, just if I could real quick, just to address the leaders who are listening in on this evening. I definitely encourage you to call in. I believe, you know, the Lord was showing me earlier, this is your Macedonian call moment. And, you know, God is just waiting to see if you will key to the vision of the word sent by the man of God on this evening. He was given this and led by the Holy Ghost to bring this show up, and he did. God was trying to give us access to walk in the power and authority to confront certain spirits here. And it's been sent before you, the ones that say they worship the Lord, continue seeking him on a daily, constantly in prayer, and addressing the leaders just as he did on Paul in Macedonia. So we're asking that you call in and acknowledge the program this evening. And, you know, what are your comments? What has the Lord has spoken to you? I definitely, this is your Macedonian call, and we just encourage you to call in on this evening. I just want to just begin to tell you, anything time you're approaching something, you have to know what it is that you're battling and what you're coming up against. And we can gird up in armor, but what is it that we're really going into fighting? If you're going into a battle with no knowledge or inclination of what you're going into, then you're just basically going into battle that you're going to absolutely lose. And I believe here, when we're dealing with this drug, Flocka, it's been given this python spirit. When you're dealing with a python spirit, you're dealing with a source of witchcraft and divination. And divination is a demonic power. It comes and tries to suffocate not only the life of the others, but the life of believers. Because just as Paul was facing, he's going through his Macedonian home, it was not until he came to the point of prayer when he was attacked by this very spirit. And we as believers have to come together. And we have to, this is one of the underlying problems that I see when we're going up to pray. We have to come together in agreement and begin to face this demonic attack on the body. So Flocka is way more than just what you're seeing in the natural. It is definitely a demonic attack against our people. and against nations, cities, countries, communities is definitely demonic. And it's definitely the spirit of the Python that is coming through to try and cause damage to and build up this kingdom of God. The enemy knows that as spirit-led prayers and believers, if we were to get together in the authority and prayer in Christ that we've been given, we will be free from this oppression. And anything around us, not only will we be set free, but anything around us will be set free at that moment. So we have to definitely know what we're coming up against as leaders, as prayer warriors, as intercessors. We have to definitely be able to identify what it is that we're battling, first and foremost. The Bible here also knows that it can reign in a life or region where people are ignorant of what the enemy is doing and his devices. And that's exactly what 2 Corinthians 2:11 speaks about. It says, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And we just see it as just a drug and nothing in the spiritual. We're not looking with spiritual eyes or senses. And we're just seeing the drug. I mean, even viewing the videotape, you can see how damaging and the effect that this thing has. Because if you view the actual YouTube, if you have a moment to view it, you can actually see that the police are quite confused, that they're standing there, they're looking at them, they're just letting them act out under this demonic influence because they don't even know what to do. That's how you know that it is a spiritual thing that is going on, because if they have physical power to overtake them, I'm pretty sure they would have already jumped on them, handcuffed them, arrest them, shut them down, but they don't even know, they're confused. So it's that we have to come together and not be ignorant on this matter and see what it really is. Amen?
Amen, wife. We just thank you for that overview right there. What a great overview of what's going on in the spirit realm, spoken prophetically, and it's an eye opener because we really need to see exactly what the devil is trying to use against us, so we'll know how to gird ourselves so that we can fight back. And we're not trying to defend. I want to be on the offensive side here. I want to start the fight. I want to call down the spiritual side so that God can move before these demonic influences even get to our children in our community. Let's look at some of these side effects and these complications and prognosis of the abuse of these bath salts in the flock or this flock in the bath salt family here. Possible side effects and complications, even low doses of bath salt abuse include rapid heart rate, chest pain, high blood pressure, agitation, hallucinating, paranoia, delirium. Agitation and delirium can last for days. Other risks of using these drugs, particularly with the overdose side of it, includes liver failure, seizure, heart attack, brain swelling, severe fever, and hypothermia. All of these things go on using this drug. What is it, you know, the chances of you walking away, it's a blessing if you can walk away and not have any effects. And then we don't know the level of addiction, how potent, how addictive this drug really is. We don't know how far it'll make our young people go. We don't know how it'll really affect the body. They don't even have a way to deal with it yet because it's so new. It's a strand of it. Bath salts have been around, but this is a new strand of the bath salt family, this flocker right here, where they alter some of the chemicals in it so that it still has it's still legal in a sense. So they're just trying to make it so that this particular strand is outlawed. The thing about it, once they outlaw this strand, somebody will create a new strand that's not illegal. The other thing is it's easy accessible. You can buy, you can go. I went up on the internet and I was looking at it doing my research. You can order it right out of China. They'll deliver it right to your door. So this is something we really got to think about. Our children can get their hands on this. Anybody can get their hands on it. You know, and it's an awful drug. It's sold on the streets for $5 a pop. That's not a lot of money. That's easy to come by. That is easy to carry at $5 a pot. It's not a $20 drug. It's not a $50 bag. You can get it for $5, and the $5 version of it and make you just as crazy. You don't need but $5 worth to act a fool. So we got to deal with this. As we moving on here, we just thank God coming in our next. We're talking about the demonology side of flock. I really want to cover that. I got a few questions from my other guests that's going to be coming online with me, a young lady that I met. Myself and my wife had an opportunity to talk to her a little bit to hear her story. She was addicted to drugs for over 30 years, and she's going to give us some insight from a person who has been on drugs and have lived through a long term of drug uses and have the scars and the marks in her body to substantiate that. And we just thank God for our sister evangelist, Elizabeth Cartagena, who's on the line with us right now and ready to share with us some of her testimony. I'm going to ask a few questions and see if she can have some input and some influence on this conversation. Evangelist, are you there?
Yes, God bless you. How you doing? Hello?
Evangelist, are you there?
Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
One second, Evangelist. Please. Evangelist, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, bless you. My sister, we thank you for being a part of the Keith and Kimberly show tonight. We just thank God for you, for your testimony. We thank him for your life, and we thank him for a regenerated mind. The first question I want to start with you tonight, my sister, is how long were you hooked on the drugs, and at what age were you introduced to them?
Okay, what age? Okay, I was in a little gang. I started 11 years old, but I left my house when I was 13. So I started doing drugs when I was 13, and I was hooked up to 32 years on drugs, street life.
Amen. Amen. And which was your drug of choice?
Okay, I did a lot of drugs in my young hood, but my drug of choice was crack cocaine.
Amen. Amen.
Crack cocaine and that drug. I used to miss a lot of drugs. So what you were saying today, you know, I was crazy too. So my testimony, and I give first, I want to give the glory to God, okay? Because he took me out from that darkness, okay? And let me tell you, man, I cry every day because he saved my life, okay? I was going to get, he happened a lot of things in my life. When I was young, and I see all these young kids in the streets, you know, and my heart cried to them. So we got to save these kids.
Amen. Now, do you personally believe, Evangelist, that drug addiction is rooted and driven by demonic influence?
Yes. Okay, yes. Because I was one, okay? Because I had these drugs, what these drugs do, it take your mind, okay, the cells of your brains, okay? And I was possessed by demons, okay? And let me tell you, the drugs, you know, it don't matter what kind of drugs you use, okay? Because I was gonna kill my babies, okay? I was gonna kill myself, okay? And I was gonna kill people, okay? When the devil, see, some people don't understand, okay? There are demons involved, okay? These are dragons, the drugs called dragons, because I was born, okay? And I was locked up too.
Amen.
It don't matter what kind of drugs it is. It will take your mind.
So I believe that too, that all of them are rooted in demonic forces, have a demonic influence. And I believe that the portal for these drugs or the drug addiction comes through other things that we deal with in our life. And then the drug becomes the temptation that will bring us solace about our other problems. And then we begin to get hooked on it. Amen.
There you go.
Go ahead, Evangelist. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, when Jesus had his mystery, you know, he was preaching 22,000 years, you know, there was demons, and you know, they were possessed on Mark 5, 6, and 13, okay? So, you know what I'm talking about. There was demon involved, okay? But let me tell you, people sometimes don't believe in demons, and they are demons, okay, flying, okay? Oh, yeah. And the street now, like you say, running, I was one, okay? When I used to do drugs, I used to get some paranoid, but I used to hear footsteps. And who was that following me? The devil, demons, okay? And let me tell you, this is no joke. That's why I tell, you know, look, I tell my friends, if you have people or family and drugs or kids, they don't see the kids. Because like I told you yesterday, if I'm going to open a rehab, but it's going to start to 13 years old up or 11, because there's a lot of kids in the streets. okay, that they doing drugs and they don't see this, you know. It's like for the grown ups. How about the kids? Come on, people.
Amen. Amen. And it's funny that you would say that you would open up a drug rehab center and start at the age of 13. And I don't believe that the main populace of people really believe that a lot of young people that young actually have a drug addiction. They know they probably use it. They don't realize that it's a lot of them that have a drug addiction, even if it's nothing but marijuana.
No. I was one. Okay? When I used to sell drugs and I used to go to a house, get drugs, guess what? 5 years old, giving me some drugs, okay? Giving me some drugs. 5 years old, a baby, okay? So I know because I was in that street 32 years. People think, oh, they're going to do drugs. Look, let's open our eyes, okay? Because the enemy is taking. Look at these kids killing each other. What that means? Demons. They are possessed by demons.
Amen. So what do you say, real quick, Evangelist? What do you say can be done? What do you think we should do as a church community to start the process of dealing with the flock of drugs? What do you think we can do as a church, as Christian people?
Okay, we should do, like I was praying for this, and I'm a warrior, and I give all the glory to God first, okay? I've been telling the churches, let's get together. Okay, it don't matter if you from that church, this church, it don't matter, because in heaven we're going to be together, okay? We get together, let's pray, because prayer is powerful. Prayer break or change, okay? Because my mother prayed for me more than 42 years because I was in drugs, okay? So prayer, hey, prayer is a powerful thing. The
Amen.
Only one that's going to help here is God. The only
that's
one,
right.
Brother.
I believe that, my sister.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, my sister, stay on line with me as we move through the conversation a little bit. We're going to come back to you hopefully a little bit later in the broadcast. We definitely appreciate your contribution to the show. But stay with us because I may come back to you with another question or two here and get some more information from you. We definitely appreciate your life experience and what you brought to the table. I have my friend Apostle Fabian on the line with me. I definitely wanted to give him an opportunity to speak from apostolic viewpoint, a vantage point, and see you know, what he could contribute to this particular drug, what we can do to deal with this particular drug. Every level of ministry, every level from the apostle to the prophet to the pastors and bishops, God deals with each person on a level and empowers you on a level so that you can fight demons on that level. So I want to hear from this great apostle. Apostle Ryan Fabian is on the line with me. I'm going to give him a chance to make a comment and have some input in this conversation that I think right now is being driven by love. It's being driven by edification. Apostle Fabian, are you there with me today, brother?
Yes, I'm here, man. I'm glad. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. We bless you. We're here talking about Flocka. And we definitely want to hear some higher spiritual input on this demon that has been released on our community. And we want to be able to deal with this. And I just want to hear what you have to say after hearing what you've heard so far. I just want to hear any comments that you may have about it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. On the line. I was listening. I came in on the back end to the therapist or the lady who had the rehabilitation program. Then I was listening at the evangelist. Simply put, it's demonic. And when people come to the church, you know, the church is to have the answers. And we have the answer, and it is the power of God. I'm talking about the raw power of God. And because I've seen people get delivered from drug addiction, they never hit another pipe, they never hit to take another snort, to never smoke another cigarette, to never drink another sip. So I'm all for the power of God. Now, I've seen a little bit on this flock of drugs. I've seen a little bit here and there on YouTube. And when you see a person go in manifestation when they're on this drug, it's demonic. It done brought something to the surface. And I agree with the evangelist. Obadiah said that Mount Zion should be a house of deliverance or a place of deliverance. Our churches must become places of deliverance. They must become
Amen.
That. They must become places where even like Paul said about the Corinthian church, we caught you. He said he caught them with guile. That when families could bring their addicted family members to the church, when they bring them to the church, they can be delivered. They come into an atmosphere of deliverance. They can come to healing miracle campaigns or Holy Ghost meetings where the power of God is flowing. See, we as the church, we have the most powerful force that the universe could ever encounter. And that's the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that created the planet, the same Holy Ghost, he dwells in us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, Bishop.
Amen. Amen.
And when we communicate with those in the secular, we're not against them. We're not against their approach because praise God for them. Praise God for everything that they're doing. Praise God for all of that. When the secular, when they come in contact with the secular, and the demons go, they lie dormant. When they go underground, okay, when they come to us, when they come to the body of Christ, when they come to the Church of Jesus Christ, the power of God should be evident. They draw them up and draw them out. There is no answer but the power of God to these drugs. You know, because I come up in the crack epidemic, you know, and when we saw what crack did to people and what it does, and I'm sorry for my part that I played in that, but it was the power of God to deliver people from crack. Those that got delivered from crack, some went through, you know, the secular part of it, and praise God for that. But those that came to the Church of Jesus Christ, they were delivered from it. So I believe that the flock of drug has to bow to the power in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that it will. I believe that, oh man, it's awesome. It's a very dangerous drug, and we definitely don't want any of our kids on it. So I'm for the power of God, Bishop, concerning that. I'm for the power of the church. The only thing that the church needs to do is when we see stuff come on a higher level, we just got to go to a lower level. What I mean by lower level means more prayer, more fasting, and create environments. We have to create healing and deliverance environments so when these people come in, they can be delivered and set free. Amen?
Amen, my brother. Amen. I definitely appreciate those comments from the apostle. And you know what? One of my greatest concerns with our Christian church is we have to make sure that we become more than just hearers of the word. We become also doers of the word, and that not only doers, but then we become effective, and that we let our Christian agenda that is driven by love and compassion spill over into the streets and into the highways, into the byways, so that we can then watch the power and the manifestation of the power of God on his people. They're not going to get delivered unless we go and preach to them. They're not going to get delivered unless they hear the word. They don't know what deliverance looks like. They don't know what the power of God looks like. We know it because we live in it and we operate in it. And we operate through it. We need to come not only in word, but we need to come in power and in demonstration so that they can see the working of God. But we cannot continue to turn our ear away and turn our hearts away as we see this influx coming through. We can't continue to act like it doesn't exist and act like the problems are not there. We have to, I think, address them head on. And that's going to be coming up in the next seven. What we need to do, what do we need to do as a family of believers, as a people of the people of God, this royal priesthood, this holy nation, this people that have God power from heaven.
these people who say that they are highly anointed, we ought to be able to move things in both heaven and earth, not only with our prayer life, but with our word and with our command, and then us invoking our blood-bought rights and our blood-bought authority so that Jesus and his name can run down our enemies and crack them in the back of the head. So we're not going to play with this. We want to create a awareness. And my final question to you, Apostle, real quick, if you can answer this, is where do we start with awareness? I know we can go out and preach like the Tampa Street team does, and we'll be doing that. We got to preach, but we need more than just street preaching. We need some type of two-step plan. We work on that plan. So what do you suggest could be implemented as a beginning or as a start, especially when it starts with awareness? What do you think about that?
You broke up on me a little bit there, man of God. Go back again now. You broke up on me. You broke up terribly on me on my end.
Okay. I was actually, where do we start our awareness campaign? Where do we start it? I know we can preach on the corners. We can go out and we can share the word.
It starts at the house of God. See, from my observation, when you look at the principle of the Bible, God never brought the animals to Noah until Noah first built the ark.
Exactly.
And so God gave him the pattern to build the ark, and then when he built the ark, God began to draw the animals. It begins always with the church of God. It always begins when you look at the fivefold ministry. When you look at the ministry of the fivefold, when you look at fivefold ministry, if you notice, if we just get technical, you see only one ministry is actually geared towards the lost. It's only one ministry, and that's the ministry of the evangelist. And
Amen.
Even at that point, Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4 that God gave these gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So
that's right.
according to my experience, when we set the house of order, when we set the house of God in order, when things are set up for example, this is what Jesus did when he chose the 12. The Bible says that they should be with him, and then he began to take them on training campaigns to see him operating in the dimension of glory that needed to be operated in. But they had to first follow him. They had to first be with him. They first had to show commitment with him. When I was in prison, and we set up ministry, and we began to do ministry, we began to build. I noticed something. I noticed one thing. God always establishes the leadership before he brings the people.
That's right.
He always establishes the leadership first. Why? He wants the leadership set up and put in order so that when he brings these people in, these people can be taken care of step by step what needs to be done. Prime example. He established the leadership with Adam and Eve before he began to bring forth the sons of God in the earth. He established Noah and the ark before he began to bring the animal. He established Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob before he began to bring the nation of Israel. He established Moses and Aaron before he began to bring the people out of bondage. He established Jesus and the 12 before he began to bring in the church and establish the church. God is always trying to establish the leadership first. When he established the leadership, and when the leadership gets in place, the evangelist gets in place, and there's a structure set up, God will begin to bring the people in. He would, for a long time, I was witnessing out there in the streets. I was in the Kmart, the Walmarts. I'm down in the Walmarts. I'm down in the trenches. But I had nowhere to send the people. I really had nowhere to send them because God hadn't told me to start building a church. God hadn't told me to build a church. God hadn't told me to start it. We got too many churches as it is. They're right across the street from each other and won't even help each other. You understand what
That's
I'm
right.
saying? So God did not assign me to do that. So when I understand my assignment in God, like now that I've been dealing with you, and I've come there and I'm listening at your teaching, I'm listening at your preaching, and I'm listening at these things, I say, okay, now I know a place when I'm witnessing to them, when I feed them, they say, man, where's your church or where's your location? I can say, okay, here go this address, go here, go there, because I'm confident, listen to me now, I'm confident that they're going to get the spiritual nourishment that they need.
You understand what I'm saying, Bishop? And that's what has to happen. When God establishes the leadership, when we allow God to establish the leadership, he always establishes the leadership before he brings the people. And when he does that, I'm telling you, I believe by the power of God, and I know by the power of the Spirit of God, he'll start bringing them in. They'll start coming in, and then you have the lady with the rehab. You have the secular part. You have that set up, okay? When they come in and she's there, and it's like, you know what I was talking to a preacher about 3 months ago, and I said, you know what, man? I said, man, you guys have so much influence, but you're not even using the influence that you have to further the kingdom of God. I was in fellowship with the preacher, and I was telling the preacher, I said, man, you know, I'm with you, man. I'll serve you. I'll serve with you. I'll get down in the trenches with you. I said, man, let's get out. Let's, you know, Holy's Healing and Miracles campaign. The only thing that's going to draw people to the kingdom is the power of God. That's what Jesus did. The Bible says this. When he cast out the devils and he healed the sick and he did the miracles, the Bible says his fame went throughout all the region. Not because he was the Son of God. They did not accept him because he was the Messiah. They did not believe him as being the King of Kings. They did not believe him as being the Son of God. Those things that we believe about him, they did not believe that about him. That's why they killed him. He was known more so about his healing miracle ministry, where he was setting people free, people that were vexed with unclean spirits, people, all these things here. This is what puts the fame of Jesus out into the region, and you'll crumple the region. You'll begin to bring it down bit by bit. That's my point of view, man of God. I didn't mean to belabor it, but you know it's like I was talking with someone today. I'm to meet with a woman today. They got in touch with me on Facebook, and her son is suffering from ADHD. And she happened to go up on my video and read my video about ADHD. For so long, Doc, we've been giving people medication for ADHD. But you know how I got the revelation concerning ADHD as being demonic or possible demonic? I was in prison and I ministered to a young brother by the name of Brother Billy. He was a Caucasian brother. He came to the deliverance ministry. He got delivered and he came to me at work the next day. The very next day he came to me. He said, Apostle Fabian, man, he said, guess what? He said, man, I can read the Bible so clearly. He said, man, I can focus so better. He said, man, you know what? My brain shifted, man. He said, you know, I used to suffer from ADHD. That's the first time I ever heard it. It was the power of God that gave revelation that the brother was suffering from a demon of ADHD. And so a woman reached out to me yesterday all the way from Portland, Oregon. See, it's the power of God. See, the power of God is going to give us the revelation on these things so that we can bring about deliverance to these people. Amen. I didn't mean to belabor a man of God, but I just wanted, you know, I believe that we set up the houses of God. And we set it up according to the pattern, and we make these houses of God houses of deliverance. You know, I truly believe, with the evangelists on who've been experienced, like you talk about, I went to the DACO program. I used to go witness over there at the DACO program before they did a whole changing up over there, changing up the guard over there. I used to go in there and witness. And when I went in there, I could feel the enemy fighting me step by step. I'm trying to get in there, whole services, whole deliverance, because I know what those brothers need. I know what they need. I'm talking to them on the secular, but I know that they needed the power of God and deliverance. That's the key. If you cast out demons, God will flood the church, and we got to work on them, and we got to get them cleaned up. And I believe that that's going to happen. That's what I'm saying about.
Amen, brother. I definitely appreciate that, man of God. That's a great, start to us dealing with our problem of drug addiction in the street. This show has, brought forth a lot of good information, a lot of good testimony with the input, great people like yourself and evangelist Cartagena and my sister Rosetta and all of you who continue to tune in on Thursday to the Keith and Kimberly Show. We got a couple more things we just want to cover real quick. One of them, we got some information for you available that my wife is going to give you for those who may be dealing with substance abuse.
If anyone is listening and have a problem with substance abuse or someone in your family, it is a 24-hour hotline, and that number is 775. This area code 775-784-8090, or you can text the word answer, A-N-S-W-E-R, to 839 839-863.
Amen, wife. We just thank for the information. And we just want to thank all of our guests tonight again. We believe that God has indeed sent us a word from heaven. We're going to keep digging into this topic and bringing you new and updated information on not only this topic, but other topics as they come across our list here at the Keith and Kimberly Show. Again, you can find us on Facebook at the Keith and Kimberly Show. You can also find us on our new YouTube channel, excuse me, at the Keith and Kimberly Show. And we just get excited about what God is doing for us here at Worldwide International Church. And we believe that God's power is going to be manifested through us working together as a team, moving his ministry forward, and blessing his people with the word of God. So again, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you for joining in again. We're going to sign off tonight. Be blessed and be encouraged. And may God continue to lift us together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining us again tonight. Oh, something like that. Oh.